The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Rather Mysterious, the podcast that aims to unlock mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is John Rain.
My name is Eleanor Morton.
My name is David Reed.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries of the past that have baffled the world and baffled the minds of the very best. Today, we bring you Closure. Hey guys, how's it going?
It's going really well. I'm really looking forward to the banter section.
Yeah, this is the banter section. We're in it now.
Oh, great. Great.
No. So, I like how you said you normally you say aim to bring closure. Today you just said we're going to do it. So, it's really confident.
We are.
I like that.
We are.
Brilliant.
We are.
Cool. So, no pressure on you.
Getting lots of good feedback about last week's episode.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah. I was out the other day and I heard people talking about it, so that's good.
I mean, the chances of that happening are literally millions to one.
Slim.
I do go out sometimes.
Slim.
Anything on that? Do you have any questions from Twitter?
No, there's a few from Mumsnet. MySpace
weighing in.
I had to crack some HTML out and go on MySpace.
Lovely.
Yeah, wow. I had some waving
that's
fingers.
That's where our real fans are.
Yeah, that's right.
That's great.
I think we're probably really big on Flash-based websites, but I can't access them anymore.
So. No, I did. It's really gutting. I did a really good Flash animation about a crow. It took me ages, and then I realised no one can see it.
No one can see it. It is a shame.
It is. Yeah. Anyway, that's banter.
Banter.
Oh, is that done? Is that the banter done?
That's banter done.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, no
I'm
more
worrying
banter.
About that all week.
Maybe I'll drop in one more. Hey, have you ever noticed how kids be like this? And some other kids be like that.
I have not.
No.
Okay,
well, this week I've got a mystery for you.
Wonderful.
I'm going to talk to you about Travis Walton and the fire in the sky.
Oh, my God.
Fire in the sky.
It sounds like a teenage adventure novel.
It does, doesn't it, actually? I should probably save that to write later.
Travis Walton.
Travis Walton and the fire in the sky. The time is November. November the 5th.
Oh, coincidence.
Yeah, 1975. Yes. Allison, America.
Cool.
America.
There's a guy
called... tell that from your accent, John.
Thank you.
America.
America.
Americans talk like
this. All Americans talk like this. I could be one of those YouTube videos where they do accents. If you're from the Deep South... you'll say potato, not potato.
Potato.
And there's a good way.
Say little else.
A good shortcut to remember this is to say, "Where's that potato?"
Yeah. It's disappointing that this happened on the 5th of November in a country that doesn't care about that particular holiday.
Isn't it? Ironic? Don't you think?
Apparently, this year they thought that we were celebrating Joe Biden.
That's right.
Which really? We were, but not with fireworks.
Not with fireworks.
No one went
near
out
me. Them. People have been setting off fireworks every day for about 3 months now.
So that's how popular Biden is.
I think it's how bored everybody is.
Yeah.
But
it's the lockdown spirit is with us.
It's really not great when you have both a small child and a dog who is afraid of fireworks.
How big's the dog though? Is it medium or small? Or?
He's medium. He's a medium dog.
That's okay then. That means he can read the future. I assume it's a he.
Yeah, he is a he.
John's
yeah.
on today.
And he can read the future. It's why he's so anxious all the time.
Because cows sit down when it's raining, but dogs can smell.
Stand up when
fear. What the rock is cooking. Famously, dogs can smell what the rock is cooking, no matter where the rock is.
He does like spicy food, though.
He does.
Lots of protein.
So, we are in America, and yes. there's a chap called Travis
Which
Walton.
Bit? Which bit of America?
Well, all of him's called Travis Walton.
Well.
I was too slow on that. I was too slow.
Travis Walton was working in a timber stand improvement crew in Apache Sitgreaves, which is a national forest near Snowflake, Arizona. Snowflake.
Snowflake. Oh.
Yeah, there's actually a place.
I can guess who
Snowflake.
Lives there.
Yeah, I can.
I can guess who
woke millennials.
Lives there.
Yeah.
Oh, a nightmare. Yeah. No
liberals.
Mm. Yeah.
But after finishing his shift, Travis and six of his co-workers got in their truck and began the drive home. Now, I had to go to Travis's website to get some quotes from him because he's written a book, but he's put it on his website. So this is in okay. Travis's voice.
Mm.
I won't do his voice.
Nope.
Oh.
Just then, my eye was caught by a light coming through the trees on the right.
Whose voice are you doing?
I'm doing Travis.
Okay, you are. You said you wouldn't and then started an accent, so I was wondering who it was.
I thought I'd surprise you.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
100 yards ahead, I idly assumed that the glow was the sun going down in the west. Then it occurred to me that the sun had set half an hour ago. Curious, I thought it might be the light of some hunters camped there. Headlights, or maybe a fire. Some of the guys must have caught sight of it too, because the men on the right side of the truck had fallen silent. As we continued driving up the road towards the brightness, we passed in sight of it for an instant. We barely got a glimpse through gnarled branches before we rolled past the open in the trees. What the hell was that? I asked. It was a flying saucer. The craft was stationary, hovering well below the treetops near the crest of the ridge. The hard, mechanical precision of the luminous vehicle was in sharp contrast to the primitive ruggedness of the dark surroundings. It's a good author, isn't it?
Lovely. Yeah. Mm.
I glanced from one to another stricken face, turning back that impelling spectacle in the air. I was suddenly seized, I declare, with the urgency to see the craft at close range. I was afraid it would fly away and I would miss the chance of a lifetime to satisfy my curiosity. I hurried back out of the truck and started towards the hovering ship. The men around me were alarmed by my sudden actions. I ducked into a crouch when a tremendously bright green-blue ray shot from the bottom of the craft. I saw and heard nothing. All I felt was the numbing force of a blow that felt like a high-voltage electrocution. The intense bolt made a sharp cracking and popping sound. The stunning concussion of a foot-wide beam struck me full in the head and my chest. My mind sank quickly into an unfeeling blackness. I didn't even see what hit me, but from the instant I felt that paralyzing blow, I did not see, hear, or feel anything more. So basically, he got caught in a light. The men who were in his truck drove off, panicked, and went off to alert the authorities. Then, blackness. Travis woke up in a spaceship. And again, I'll go back to his text to tell you what happened.
Yes.
The certain horror of what I saw rocked me as I realized that I was definitely not in hospital. I was looking squarely into the face of horrible creatures. They looked steadily back at me with huge, luminous brown eyes, the size of quarters. The creatures slowed but continued towards me, their hands outstretched. "Keep back, damn you!" I shrieked menacingly. They stood still, mutely. They were a little under 5 feet in height. They had a basic humanoid form, 2 legs, 2 arms, hands with 5 digits each, and a head with the normal human arrangement of features. But beyond the outline, any similarity to humans was terrifyingly absent. So he's confronted with loads of aliens. They're trying to get near him.
Sure.
Extending their hands, he says that a lot. And he noticed they had no fingernails. Their hands were small, delicate, and without hair. And their thin, round fingers looked soft and unwrinkled. Their smooth skin was so pale that it looked chalky, like ivory. Their bald heads were disproportionately large for their puny bodies. And they had bulging, oversized craniums, a small jaw structure, an underdeveloped appearance to their features that was almost infantile. So he struggled with them. He threatened them with an object he picked up near him. And then he escaped the room. And then another human appeared wearing a space helmet. And he led Travis to another room. Upon reaching that room, he blacked out. But he said to this man in the helmet, "Would somebody please tell me where I am?" he implored. "I implore." I was still utterly shaken from my encounter with those awful creatures. What in the hell is going on? What is this place? No one answered him. And if you go to his website at this bit, there's a drawing of the human he encountered. And he also encountered a human lady. And the person drawing the picture has drawn the lady in skin-tight top where you can see her nipples.
Of course.
Of course. So, he said, "They didn't answer me, but they looked up." He says, "They didn't answer me. They only looked at me, though not unkindly." Then Walton claims he remembers nothing else until he found himself walking along a highway 5 days later with the flying saucer departing above him. Bye! In the days following Walton's UFO claim, the National Enquirer awarded Walton and his friends $5,000 for the best UFO case of the year after they allegedly passed polygraph tests administered by the paper and the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, or APRO. Walton, his older brother, and his mother were described by the Navajo County, Arizona Sheriff as long-term students of UFOs. Some ufologists believe Walton was abducted by aliens. Ufologist Jim Ledwith said for the 5 days the authorities thought he'd been murdered by his co-workers, and then he returned. All of the co-workers that were there who saw the spacecraft took polygraph tests, and they all passed except for one, and that test itself was inconclusive. There you go, there's the case.
Right.
That is the weirdest Tennessee Williams play I've ever heard.
It's great. It's called Alien on a Hot Tin Roof.
That Blanche DuBois went through all of that.
I declare, I saw an alien.
So he was definitely missing because they have
for
that
five
record.
Days.
Five days.
I have a theory on this.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that he was a dick. And
right.
His co-workers spiked him with some LSD and dumped him in the woods.
I mean, that would make sense, yes.
If that's he's already an avid hobbyist of UFOs, then what else is he going to hallucinate, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird that UFOs only seem to appear to people who are already obsessed with them.
It is, isn't it?
They don't appear to anyone else. It's always people in Arizona.
Well, as the sheriff said, he's a long-term student of UFOs.
Yeah, I think he's been spiked.
Oh, well, that's just turned this fascinating alien story into a tragic...
Spiked or everything he says is true.
Well, yeah. Eleanor, what do you think?
Well, I mean, the evidence is pretty solid, John. So, I think... No, it's interesting, though, isn't it? It's interesting what people think happened to themselves.
I noticed a distinct lack of anal probing, which suggests this isn't true to me.
Well, if you watch the film, they made a film of this, you know.
Really?
Yeah, called Fire in the Sky.
Fire in the Sky. What year did you say it was? 74?
75.
75, and Close Encounters came out in 77, so it's possible he just watched them film it.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah. For 5 days. Because
he literally describes the aliens in Close Encounters in that passage you just read.
Yeah, he does.
Who, even infantile, because they dressed up children as those aliens.
They certainly did.
They're greys, aren't they? That's what they're as greys.
That's right, greys.
Yes.
With the big old heads.
The big old heads.
With the big heads. Who's this lady who turned up?
The nipple lady was on the spaceship, yeah.
She was probably the chaperone for all the children dressed as aliens for Close Encounters.
Yeah.
He's wandered onto the catering bus for Close Encounters, is what's happened, whilst ripped off his tits on LSD. And
Spielberg
all of these poor, terrified children.
Yeah.
And the chaperones, a man and a woman, have tried to sort of usher him out while the kids have their beans through their stupid flappy costumes.
Because normally, in a lot of these cases, The aliens are beautiful, sexy ladies that then they have to have sex with them, apparently, for some important reason.
Well, they want to breed like perfect species, don't they?
Yes. So they always abduct these random rednecks
who work in wood mills.
Well, maybe with aliens, you know, up is down, down is up. They look at a redneck and think,
maybe that's an alien 10.
So you're saying to aliens, the Deep South is just full of Princess Aura from Flash Gordon.
Mm. Oh,
yeah. I mean, I'm really insulting any listeners from that part of the world.
I do want to see a bit of Travis Walton being chased along the beach by an alien, like in 10. And him having like kind of Floella Benjamin hair, where it's all beaded.
Be nice.
I should have said Bo Derek, shouldn't I? She was in it.
To get real on this for a second, I mean, I think I've hit the nail on the head with my catering bus of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That's what I believe now.
It could have been a Russian experiment, of course.
It could have been a Russian experiment to
test out their movie-making equipment.
To test out their rival alien film.
Yeah. Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind.
Maybe
our film will be better than the Spielberg effort because instead of middle-aged men, we have women with nipples.
Nipples.
Nipples. Nipples.
You've turned into
but
one of
the
those
only
YouTube
evidence is a polygraph test of his friends, right? Yeah. That's the only actual.
Well, we know they're very trustworthy.
Polygraph test, absolutely, 100%.
100%.
But one guy failed it, so.
Yeah.
Could it be the Russians were? It's not a film thing. It's a sabotage attempt to undermine the very heart of America, which is the lumberjack trade. And you know, if once you've got those people, the whole pyramid collapses. You know, once you've made
once
them
you've got wood, the
confused.
Pyramid collapses, as they say.
He was found to be wearing women's clothing and bras.
Bras, plural.
Was he actually? Yeah. I don't know.
He chops down trees.
He wears
And he eats
hangs
his lunch.
Around in bars.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
He's very much a lumberjack that wasn't okay.
He was not okay. And I assume
although
he's
profited from this, hasn't he? So there's some more evidence for you.
Well, now
he goes around
the convention
has given him $5,000 or whatever it was.
I will say, this is something I learned from another podcast I listened to. But I think people have this misconception that people pretend to see aliens for the money. But I think I don't think Travis Walton is that happy. And I think most people who see aliens don't see vast wealth. I think it's not a good thing.
No.
I'm saying.
Okay.
I think people think they see aliens because they are not very well.
$5,000 is probably to countenance mental illness being part of solutions of any of these, then this show's going to get less fun, I think.
No, you're right.
I think you're, you know, between you and me in private, Eleanor, I think you're 100% correct. Probably about every case we've ever talked about it, probably the solution is mental illness is the solution.
I mean, especially that one with the two sisters who went travelling in time. I mean, that's
the one where nothing happened. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
I think so. I looked, but I do think someone on Twitter said that was their favourite episode of any podcast ever. So
yeah, Versailles time slip, where we just repeatedly said nothing happened. Literally, you've literally described nothing happening.
Yeah, well, maybe they liked it because I posed a good mystery, and you guys were there.
Are you saying that I brought a stinker this week? Is that what you're saying?
No,
and shut. He stumbled onto the catering bus for the junior actors on Close Encounters of the Third Kind with their two chaperones, one of which was a lady in a tight top.
Yeah.
And he's been spiked by his co-workers on LSD, and so he's slightly...
His brain's filling
in the gaps of what's
it's
going on.
Pretty mean of them.
My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to. Keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The Good Vibrations Guide.
Green Dot Laser Sight Rifle Gun Scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The Sex Doctor's Guide to Keeping It Hot.
Ah, oh, interesting.
Did Another Child Come Along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great eps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
But it's if you wander onto a bus of a load of children eating beans and their two chaperones, that would explain why nobody anally probed this man.
Wait a minute, where did the eating beans come from?
Well, that's what this kids, they would have potato smilers, beans and sausage. Because you need to be able to produce it in large quantities.
But he doesn't say, I saw these aliens eating potato smilers, beans and
well,
sausage.
Well, no, he was ripped off his tits on LSD, so he saw the beans and his brain interpreted that as the smell of, like, rose petals or something.
Yeah.
Do you know, one Who time I was I was an extra in a TV show and I got in the wrong queue for the wrong catering van. It was very embarrassing.
What do you mean the wrong one? Yeah. For some, a different
TV
show?
Well, you won't know this... You won't know this, Dave, because you're a big star, but the extras are fed after the main people. But I just
oh, I do know that because I have been escorted in front
actors.
Of them into my eternal
yes, they, you're
fame.
One of those people, and really I had to be told to go back to my extras bus and sit with the scum.
Did you get the same food, or did you get like gruel?
The food was good, as far as I remember. It was the BBC.
They take the scrapings bin from the crew and the cast, and then they just get a big ladle and you queue up round the back. I mean, they're not called extras either, are they? They're called
supporting
SAs.
Artists.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, that's if people want to believe that, then yeah. But
what production were you on, Eleanor?
I was on Case Histories, which was one of those. Detective shows that they film in Scotland and then populate with English actors. Not right. that I have a problem with that. It was Jason Isaacs, who I do fancy, so that was fine.
Mm-hmm. He's very good.
And yeah. Yes. No, it was a good show. I mean, I was in a flashback to a 90s party that the murder victim had been at, and they put me in this sequin dress, which made me feel very glamorous. And then, because they had a vintage car in the show as well, the director was like, ooh, maybe we could have her lying on the car. And so he put me on the car, and I was like, this is cool. And then a woman came over, and she was like, she can't be on the car, and I had to get off the car again.
Did she come in and say, no, you're supposed to be lying on your front, not on your back?
No, and then I got anally probed.
Oh, wow.
But,
oh, so it does happen on film sets. My bad. Yeah. My bad.
It was a Weinstein film, so...
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's super dark. You can't do that. You can't do that. You know what I found
down the Weinstein hole so fast. I didn't see that coming.
We've done space on Weinstein.
No, we've done the Weinstein hole.
No, the Weinstein hole.
Although he's got COVID, so hopefully he'll be dead soon.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Well, it's prison. It's rife in prisons. I think it's really interesting about alien encounters is that before sort of the 20th century, everyone saw fairies, and then after the 20th century, everyone saw aliens. I think
that's exactly right. It's in asylums as well. Well, mental health institutions. People who believe themselves to be a famous figure. The most common one was believing themselves to be Julius Caesar, and then it changed to Abraham Lincoln in America at some point, and then people believed themselves to be Jesus. But it just depended on the most dominant cultural figure in that culture.
Who do you think it is now? Who do you think people are thinking?
It's probably Princess Diana.
Mm-hmm.
Or Lego Batman. People probably think they're Lego Batman.
Well, I'd rather think I was Lego Batman.
That'd be quite a fun one.
I wonder if there are any more Loch Ness sightings these days. That's gone quiet, hasn't it?
Nessie's really dropped down the rankings of interest.
Yeah, in quack interest.
Yeah, it's a fascinating lake for many other reasons. So
yeah, it is. It's really big, isn't it?
Very, really big, very long, very deep.
Very long.
Very long and deep. I've talked about this before. I won't talk about it again. I won't do it. What do you think, John? What was your theory? Did you have a theory?
I thought maybe he'd made it all up, but I like the Close Encounters one a bit better.
You like the catering bus of the children on Close Encounters?
It's got the nipples.
Look, 2 years is about... 2 years post-production is about right back then, I'd say. Between 75 and 77.
Yeah. Well, John...
November as well, so...
What was he doing for the 5 days where he disappeared?
He was watching all the filming and going, wow.
I think he was wandering around in his pants.
In the forest. I mean, clearly...
In the forest. I think he was lost.
In a florist.
Security on set wasn't in a florist. But he's doing all right now. He's got a website.
Yeah,
so
he's got his
books
out. You can read his book.
Eleanor, I mean, you have such a low bar if you believe having a website is doing it right.
I know, right? I've got websites. It doesn't prove anything.
You've got websites, plural. Well, no. Wow. I stand corrected.
Twitter's one of mine.
His book's doing so well that it's on his website that you can read for free.
Oh, wow.
So that's always a good sign.
Yeah. I think he's a fraud. Or he needs help. Those are my two. What the hell is that?
What the hell was that?
Sorry. Sorry, someone called me on
Zoom. Kettle?
I didn't know that was the noise it would make.
That's a very modern kettle.
I thought it was the Close Encounters.
So did I.
Yeah.
I thought they've arrived to prove me wrong.
No, I'm not that savvy.
I'm sticking with my... He was spiked with LSD and wandered onto the Close Encounters sets.
I'll go with that.
He found the kids eating beans. And the beans is important.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
I do declare I have never seen beans that fine. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Before we go, by the way, we did have some minor correspondence.
Oh, really? From children?
Ooh, correspondence.
No, not from children. Well, I put a shout out on Twitter, saying if you'd like to have any comments or anything to say them. I can't speak.
Yeah.
We've had 1, 2, 3, 4.
Wow.
So a That's chap called nice. Hamish Summers.
Yes.
At Ham Dazzler. Yeah. He says, Lovely. Keep being good.
Oh, God, I don't know if I can live with that pressure.
And then that's a lot.
Math Butterfield says, can you do one on exactly how Giuliani and co. ended up at Four Seasons Total's landscaping?
That is going to age this episode so perfectly. Yes. Well, probably. I mean, it is a fascinating case, isn't it?
It is.
It's a lot of theories. So perfect. Mm. It will be... It would. When there's a film of it, it should be the last scene. Because the writer would think it would be worth carrying the story on to the tiny table. But I think the Total Landscaping is the place to end it. Roll credits.
No, it'll never be.
It's certainly where it would end on an episode of Arrested Development. That's when the music
A guy called Fortunes for Fun. He says something that's baffled me slightly. Nobody has been able to solve the ultimate mystery of the playing cards in Barclays Bank windows, but I believe you are the chosen ones. Podcast of the year.
The playing cards in Barclays Bank windows.
Great. Is that an official award?
I'm going to take it. Five
stars. We won that.
I'm going to stick it in laurels on my website. Yes, I have one. I don't know what he's talking about, I'm afraid. Playing cards in Barclays Bank windows?
No. Have you Googled it?
No, I haven't, John.
What if I... Should I Google it now?
Why don't you Google it now? While I say that I haven't got a website. The world is my website. So...
Have you not got a website? Okay. You should have a website.
I haven't got a website. Why should I have
a
website?
It's a real sign of success.
Is it?
You've got stuff to shill, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, someone... No, listen.
It turned into
something.
A podcast of people reading a website. Oh, dear.
Okay, there is a story, and it's very long, and I don't think we've got time now. But
I found the same one, and I tried to skim it, but...
Someone has put... someone has put cards in the windows of Barclays, and no one knows why. That seems to
okay.
be
okay. We'll return to that. I just finally wanted to read the last comment from Ian L7, who says, "Just wanted to say thank you all for solving all sorts of mysteries, most people only seem to be interested in ones where a man gets murdered or women get murdered again. Mixing it up with things like Nessie or the Altof Pass keeps things fresh. Thank you." So thank you, Ian. Thanks, everybody, who took the time to write in there.
Thanks, Ian.
We'll leave you with this final thought.
Oh, hello. Final thought. New format point.
There are mysteries everywhere. Up, down, left, right. And the best thing you can do is just keep your eyes open, log anything strange, and, you know, let us know, because we like mysteries and we like talking about mysteries. And be good to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week with more mysteries to carry on rocketing along with Series 4. Sorry we ended up with this episode just looking at things on the internet, but that can sometimes happen to the best of us.
It's just like hanging out with some friends, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
There's Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.